I'll describe briefly the beef cattle systems in Florida. And Florida has approximately 1 million beef cows. It's primarily a cow-calf system. But 80% of those animals are concentrated in the south part of the state, around this area here, what we call south of I-4, across the state. And as you can see here, our research center is located right between those large herds. And most of these cows that are located in the south, they are grouped in large herds. So we consider large some herds with 500 cows or more. So a large proportion of those beef cows are in this kind of herds. And our research center here, we consider to be the southernest cattle and forage research center in the country. So at here we are at latitude 27. So in this really southern location give us some really mild winters. So when you have these mild winters, our beef cattle producers has the chance, has some flexibility to work with some forage systems for the winter. So over there we can work with the hay, stockpiled forage, or cool season animals. And I will talk briefly about some of them. Hay is still the most traditional practice in this area. However, it's not the most used practice by those large producers. They prefer something that has less input and is more economical for them. However, we still have a hay production in South Florida, and hay is becoming less attractive, mainly because the increased cost of fuel and fertilizer that we are facing right now in the whole country. And furthermore, when you have a good forage production, most of our forages are warm season grasses. When you have a good production of warm season grass during the summer, we also have a really high rainfall that make very difficult for us to cure hay on appropriate manners. So what happens is we ended up with really low nutritive value material that most of the times have really low feeding value. The stockpiled forage is the most popular among the producers, mainly, as I said, because low inputs, it's really easy to manage, so you don't need to make a lot of decisions. And in South Florida, we have a forage species called limpograss. It was introduced from Africa, came originally from South Africa. And this warm season grass has some characteristics that fits really well in this stockpiled system, because it keeps the digestibility even at really late regrowth periods, and also has really good growth in the spring. So that's what makes this limpograss attractive species. Right now, we think that limpograss is the second most important species for us in South Florida. The first one is Bahia grass. And we have seen some previous research comparing Bahia grass pastures plus hay and limpograss stockpiled on cow-calf systems. And you have seen that we have a really similar performance. Here, in this Bahia grass plus hay, it's the traditional summer pasture of Bahia grass plus 670 kilos of hay per pair. So that makes comparing stockpiled limpograss with Bahia grass hay very comparable in performance. And the most important thing for us here, calf weight at weaning and pregnancy rates. And annual ryegrass is the last one that I would like to mention, that is the cool season annual that we plant in South Florida. However, producers are very skeptical about planting ryegrass, mainly because of the dry conditions during the fall sometimes can hit us, and the competition with the warm season grass. We have to plant on a prepared seed bed, because if we just overseed on the sod, what happens, there is a lot of competition of the warm season grass with our ryegrass. So it's a very challenging practice for the producers in South Florida, mainly because of most of the times they fail in establishing ryegrass. So, but we still believe that because of the really high nutritive value of this ryegrass, and although it's expensive to plant and you run the risk of to have a poor crop, we still think that we it's an attractive option, mainly because of the high nutritive value of this ryegrass. So you can grow replacement heifers, early wean the calves, and or you can use that ryegrass as a supplement for other forage systems. And the objective of this study was to use this annual ryegrass as a supplement for cattle grazing stockpiled limpograss during the winter. The experiment was located at the research center where I mentioned to you, at 27 degrees of latitude. The grazing period was from February 20th to May 15th. And the limpo grass pastures were staged in October, and we fertilized those pastures with 60 pounds of nitrogen per 60 kilos of nitrogen per hectare, around October. We plant the annual ryegrass that we plant is a jumbo, is a tetraploid released from Florida. We use 20 kilos per hectare of seed, and we plant three or four days before Thanksgiving. So we used to plant this ryegrass in Florida really late to avoid that competition with the warm season grass. And we use a nitrogen fertilization and 30 kilos of nitrogen and 3 weeks after planting, plus 80 kilos of nitrogen split in two applications. We use 36 replacement heifers. They were Angus crossbred heifers. We used 3 heifers per experimental unit. Our limpo grass pasture was about 0.5 hectares. And the treatments were 3 levels of cottonseed meal, control, that was 0, 1.1 kilo per day, and 2.2 kilos per day. The 4th treatment were the heifers grazing stockpiled forage and grazing part-time annual ryegrass. So the supplement was fed 3 times a week, and also the heifers have access to the ryegrass pastures 3 times a week at the same time. Let me explain that. For instance, if we fed 1.1 kilos per day, we multiply 1.1 by 7 to have 7 days and divide by 3, that we fed 3 days a week. So at the same time, we allow the heifers to graze part-time ryegrass. And the treatments were completely randomized design. We have 12 experimental units. The pastures were grazed on a continuous stocking and fixed stocking, so the animals grazed the pasture all the time. And we measure herbivore mass with the display meter. We use some cages to account for herbivore mass accumulation during the winter. And we use hand-plucked samples for nutritive value. We weigh the heifers every 28 days and also collect blood every 28 days for blood urea nitrogen analysis. So the treatments were considered different when they were at 5%. Significance, and we use PropMix of SAS to analyze the data. These are some of the data from the limpo grass pastures. So we did have the cottonseed meal when it was fed 2.2 kilos per day. We have a little lesser herbage mass on those pastures. However, it was not different from this, but it was lesser than the part-time grazing. We have a herbage mass accumulation pretty similar among the treatments. But when you look at the herbage allowance, that was the kilos of dry matter in relation to kilos of live weight exposed to those pastures, we didn't have any significant difference. So the treatments were pretty similar regarding the limpo grass forage. This is a picture of last week of January in Florida. So that's pretty amazing. You can see that the forage was as good as it was in the summer. So we didn't have our first frost till the first week of February. And this is a picture in the last week of February. So we have our first frost, and you can see here on the cages we have a regrowth right away. So the frost kills some of the leaves, but we are having regrowth right away from this limpo grass. Grows really well in early spring. So the nutritive value of the pastures, as I said, for a warm season grass, we consider this, for a mature warm season grass, we consider these a pretty acceptable digestibility. And we have and more crude protein concentration than we expected from those pastures, and we assumed that there was the hand-plucked samples brought some of that new regrowth that increased a little bit our concentration of crude protein in the mixture. But we assumed that those dead material from limpo grass will range about from 3 to 5% crude protein. This is just to illustrate our ryegrass pastures for part-time grazing. We have a really good herbage mass, really good rainfall during the fall in Florida last year, so we have a good establishment, and the nutritive value is the typical nutritive value for ryegrass. We used to have some high digestibility and high crude protein concentration. Here are the heifers' performance data. So we saw a linear increase as expected when you go from the control to the highest level cottonseed meal. And we didn't see any difference between the highest level cottonseed meal and the part-time grazing ryegrass. The performance here was really similar. But the interesting data is when we look at the blood urea nitrogen, we see a linear increase in blood urea nitrogen when we increase the levels of cottonseed meal. However, the treatment that was part-time grazing ryegrass was similar to the control that didn't receive any protein. Make us to wonder and speculate that these animals that have the part-time grazing ryegrass, they have a more efficient way to assimilate that protein from the ryegrass than when we fed some cottonseed meal. And lastly is a table trying to put together some economics about these spreads, and I would like you to bear with me in this table here, and I'll try to explain to you. So this is days grazing ryegrass. We graze three times a week. So when we talk about 12 days, is a month. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and so forth. And here we have the cottonseed meal equivalent. That's pretty much, we didn't see difference between the 2.2 and the part-time grazing. So we are going to spend about $80 if we provide cottonseed meal for those heifers for 1 month. And in here we have the cost of establishment of ryegrass. This is a typical cost for us around here, $330 per hectare. That will be around $150 to the acre. So I have the lowest here and the highest level of price to establish ryegrass. And pretty much what I have here, when we have some negative numbers, that means that it's better to feed cottonseed meal than grazing part-time ryegrass. But when you have positive numbers here, we see that it's better to establish some ryegrass and graze part-time ryegrass, that will be more economical. So we conclude here that more important than the success of establishment initial in the fall is the length that you can graze your ryegrass. So in Florida, in South Florida, we have really short grazing periods. So that will be 3 months for us is a good period to graze ryegrass. When you go up north, you can see 4 or 5 months of grazing ryegrass that make these spreads much more attractive when you compare them with some supplement material. So my summary and conclusions, herbicide parameters was pretty similar among the four treatments, and the performance of the heifers were similar to heifers receiving 2.2 kilos of cottonseed meal per day, or the heifers grazing ryegrass. The blood urea nitrogen was an interesting data because we have pretty similar blood urea nitrogen concentrations among the control and the heifers that graze the ryegrass. And as I said, the economics of that, I believe, very important for the success of using ryegrass in the southern states is the length that you graze that ryegrass during the year.
Okay, I think we have time for
questions. I'd like to thank you, and I'll be glad to take any questions that I might have.
Joe, do you think that the lower blood urea nitrogen with the ryegrass might be due to higher available sugar in the ryegrass?
It might be. I think it might be a possibility that make that synchronization better and less urea being in the blood in that recycling process more time. And we fed three times a week, and that probably will cause more nitrogen to be in the blood because of the flush of nitrogen in three meals during the year. But no doubt that the sugar probably may be an important factor in that simulation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.